Hey, movie lovers, welcome back for another Anatomy of Movie here at Popcorn Talk. Today we go to Detroit back in the 1980s with White Boy Rick selling drugs and guns. Stay tuned as we dissect.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right, put on your roller skates, go to your favorite roller rink, because we doing it. Marissa Serafini is here.
Yes, hello, everyone.
And I am Phil Svitek. Dimitri Panos could not join us. He's still stuck in the 70s.
Yeah. We left him at Las Vegas.
That's right. That's an inside joke that only works if you've been checking us out for a long time. Now, if this is your first time to our show, well, hey, welcome. Just the same, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming and joining us. A couple things to note. We are not just a review show, but we're also, we give the context as far as the development, how they wrote it, the acting, the making of, all that fun stuff, culminating, of course, into the box office numbers, which is, at the end of the day, what matters in showbiz. That's right, it is a business. That said, it assumes that you've seen the movie, therefore we are spoiler-filled. If you don't care about spoilers, that's up to you, but you have been warned, so don't complain to me. And last but not least, if you want to follow along with what we're talking about, we do have a rundown for you with all of our research and notes. It is available in the description box. It's a little PDF link. You just click on that. It comes up. We pull from there, but we don't always get to everything. So it's a nice little additional bonus to our show. We try to deliver as much information as we can. As we always do, let us begin with overall impressions of this movie. Marissa, kick us off.
So I went into this film with somewhat high expectations because this film is now starting like the Academy Award run discussion that people are now beginning around this time of year. And this was one of the first films that I heard, hey, this could be a front or like an early contender for acting, for story and that. So I went in with like good expectations of that sense, like quality wise. Matthew McConaughey was great. I mean, he's already an Academy Award winning actor, so like he was great. And I walked out of this film so angry, mostly because of the debut performance from the main kid, Richie Mayer, who played White Boy Rick. He literally ruined the movie for me, which is really disappointing because Matthew McConaughey is great. The story could be interesting enough where we feel for the actual man who was convicted of all of this. Like, it could be a very interesting American story that people should know about and can learn about. But when you cast an actor who cannot emote any emotion, I could not connect with the character, with the story in that sense. Therefore, just the way this movie made me feel at the end of this movie was not what I went into the film wanting to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, like you, went into this movie with a lot of expectations. Matthew McConaughey, this guy's fantastic. All right.
Yeah, it's Matthew.
It is. And so the story seemed interesting enough. I mean, to get a king drug leader at the age of 15, okay, that's a great little hook. I'm in. But unfortunately, disappointed. Now, to be honest, I'm not as critical of his acting as perhaps you are. What I am more critical of, this, in a sense, to me, he never got the chance to really go that much in depth. Like, we kind of just, we're picking select moments that happened rather than really telling a story and trying to have a message with it. We're not talking, you know, we're showing these things, but we're not really commenting on drugs and selling of guns and gun control in America. We're not talking about the sort of impoverished kind of state of Detroit. Mm-hmm. You know, family dynamics are there and so forth, racism. Like, it's all there on the surface level, but we never really go deeper. It's just like, as soon as anything happens, we go on to the next thing. And then the fact that it takes place over a number of years already, I was like, we could have told that. I know these events happened over the course of X, Y, and Z years. However, I didn't even mind like isolated to a very particular moment. And when you look at the ending of the movie and what happens in kind of real life, I was like, what is the takeaway of this? I was really hoping for at least, like, the ending's really got to tie this in together. Like, something happens. No. I was like, I just wasted 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I looked at my watch in this film. Like, if we weren't covering this for Anatomy of a Movie, good chances I probably wouldn't even made the effort to go see it. If I did see it, I would have walked out. Mm-hmm. This is a film I would have eagerly walked out of. And I don't like that. And I'm going to be honest, because I don't go to films wanting to walk out. I was like, I'm not going to spend my time nor money to do that. But I think it just goes to show that something went, maybe for me personally, I don't personally like stories about drugs and drug dealers. That's not appealing to me whatsoever. Drugs have fucked up so many things in people's lives and family. And, like, personally, I don't do drugs. I don't like, I've never liked, you know, the drug aspect, and especially because I feel like a lot of movies or television shows glamorize it, and they were trying to glamorize it in this movie to a way where it's like, drugs are great because we're making so much money off of it. I'm like, no, so that, to me, didn't even appeal me, just the behavior and the interactions between everyone that Richie Jr., like, when he was with the FBI, when he was with his friends, when he was with his own father and sister, he was a jerk. He was an a-hole. Like, just his personality-wise, he wasn't nice. He had an attitude issue. Granted, he was a teenager, but just, there was no semblance of him that would make him seem likable in any sense. And he's, quote-unquote, our main protagonist of the film that you have to watch, but nothing about him was likable.
Well, not even that. You kind of compare it to Molly's Game. I can kind of go back to, because she's an anti-hero, but there's an intrigue and a mystery, and, you know, all the things that she's doing, you know, are on this type of level, right? But in the movie, Rick says, hey, I know all the players and this and that. Like, nothing that was shown in the movie makes me believe that he has any sort of intelligence whatsoever. I mean, the fact that, like, Even midway through the movie or wherever the heck it happens, he gets shot by one of the people that he's supposed to trust. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you what do you know? And that's where things, like, especially by the end, they got so played by the FBI, and his dad was kind of starting to manipulate things, and he kind of went along with it. I'm like, okay, Rick, what level of intelligence do you have? Nothing you have shown me here shows that you are actually good at anything that you say you are. And in real life, maybe he was, but on screen, I didn't get anything of that.
No, I completely agree, because also, he did get played by the FBI because of such a low intelligence. Any normal person of somewhat average intelligence would have questioned what the FBI was doing. Not once did he really questioned the FBI intentions, like, okay, what do you need? You're going to give me drugs. You're going to give me money to do X, Y, and Z. Sure, I'm all for it. Not once did he ever question, like, what do I get out of it other than maybe helping his father stay out of jail? I think that was, like, really his only motivation of why he was working with the FBI. But it also shows FBI, they are the FBI. They have high IQs. They definitely played them. But also just the character of Richie, everything he was doing, he did it with intent. He knew it was dangerous. He knew there could have been serious ramifications. And so all the situations and all the moments he was doing, I was like, everything that, you know, like, if we're going to skip to the end when he finally gets incarcerated, I was like, yeah, you totally deserved it because you knew what you were doing. I don't feel bad for you whatsoever because you went in with full intention.
And that's where, in a sense, now as we're talking this out, the movie could have made a huge shift and focused instead on the FBI and said, like, hey, listen, you little effers that want to be these drug lords, guess what? We're smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't mess with us. Because in that sense, it's not he never played them, and they won in the end. And so you're right in that sense. Like, initially, I was very intrigued. Like, he gets in the car, and I was like, okay, what does he know that I don't? Well, it turns out that the only thing that he knows that I don't is that I'm giving him way too much credit.
Yeah.
Because he had no game plan whatsoever. Like, manipulate the FBI. And, okay, it'd be one thing to try to manipulate the FBI and have failed. He never did. He didn't even attempt. He just sucked at it.
Right, and the whole thing is the FBI knew what was going on with that whole Curry gang. They just needed someone on the inside to really confirm their diagnosis and their all their theories. They literally just needed a person. Instead of just doing a raid, they sent one person in, checked what it was doing. He came back, be like, yeah, they're doing X, Y, and Z. They're like, yeah, that's exactly what we already knew. Now we have evidence or, like, an actual proof that it's happening. Let's now get them. Like, honestly, I'm still just trying to figure out what was Richie's purpose in all this when the FBI already knew what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like he had a goal, right? With the father, what made him so interesting is, like, he always brought it back to a positive level that I have yet to see. You know, he, as he said, he's a half full kind of guy, right? Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, I really wanted, like, the dream of owning this video store to kind of slowly start to perhaps become a reality. And it's just never, like, Rick never had any sort of ambition. He just wanted to, quote, make a lot of money. But for what reason? There was, you know, when you talk about the American dream, what was his American dream?
Yeah, young Richie didn't have one. And then I did like that they did. Well, like, the father had mostly, yeah, it was a video store, but mostly he just had the idea of a better life, a better, happier, simpler life for the family. Like, we could just run a business and that, like, an innocent business, and they could be happy. They wouldn't have to be selling drugs or selling guns in a shady way. They can have a clean life. And I like that he wanted that. But the son obviously never wanted that. And once they finally got it, there was a moment, and this was also very frustrating, just as character development-wise, there was a moment where Richie got out. He was clean. He didn't have money. He didn't have the drug business. He was just living his life, trying to be somewhat of a father, I guess. Like, he literally had nothing going on in his life. And then he went back. He chose to go back into the dirty life. So I'm like, again, no character development because he hasn't learned anything from his past. Choosing to go back to a dangerous life, which he ultimately got the, you know, karma for it. Like, yeah, you deserved it.
Well, and in that moment, he thinks he's better than the FBI. Like, they already know, as you pointed out, they know everything. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? They're not going to know about you all of a sudden if you get back in the game? You think you're that much smarter than them? And one of the interesting parts with the father, right, for better or worse, he had a line in the sand that he was willing to draw. He said, okay, no drugs, I'm going to sell guns. And even with the guns, he didn't necessarily, like, he felt very torn about what he was doing. Maybe he never said it out loud, but him watching, like, the news and the various things, hearing if someone got shot with one of his guns, it didn't sit well with him. Whereas white boy Rick never had that sort of dilemma. Mm-hmm. You know, and perhaps he should have, because when he's selling drugs, like, one of the people that was affected by drugs was his sister, who he theoretically loved.
Oh my God, the sister. She was a humongous issue for me. She was one of the first reasons why I wanted to walk out. The sister. What a train wreck she was. Again, drugs fuck up your life. Don't ever do them. And oh, it was so frustrating to watch her, like, just her attitude towards her father. The way she was introduced, like, she is a lowlife as well. It sounds very judgmental, but that's how they portrayed the character. She didn't have the greatest life. She didn't have the greatest relationship with her father. She got away. I was like, good, stay away. And I was just trying to figure out if she really had, I can't say it was a character growth, but eventually she did get clean. It was more so because they forced her to detox. But personality-wise, maturity-wise, I don't think she grew either.
No. This movie lacks perspective. I think it either could have been from the FBI's perspective or the father's perspective in trying to keep this family together and just having failed that miserably. Whereas now it tries to tell too many stories. I know the movie's called White Boy Rick and it follows White Boy Rick. Honestly, he's not that interesting and he has nothing interesting to say. He's not that smart. At this point, it starts to become repetitive. I gain nothing by watching this.
Right. And also what was frustrating for me, and I mentioned the performance by Richie Mayer, is just the character and the portrayal of Richie, someone who goes through all the situations, getting arrested, getting shot, you would get emotional. You would have some type of emotion, anger, fear, you know, like any type of disturbance, you're going to physically feel it. And not once did we get any ounce of any, like, in a way, Richie was very sociopathic. I can't tell when he found out that other kids got killed. He never showed any emotions like, oh, that's terrible. When we saw the father be like, someone got killed, possibly with my guns, you can feel something. When young Richie got shot, his son, and he wanted revenge on the people who got him, he broke down in the car. Like, he had emotions. He had actual real human feelings. Young Richie, no matter what situation was, he was so stoic that I couldn't tell. That's what detached me as a human being. Feel something and show it. Get emotional. Not once did he do that.
There's a difference between being a stoic and having, like, okay, using it to your advantage. He didn't gain anything.
He showed no compassion. No. And that's what was bothersome, just as a human. For someone who lacks empathy with anybody, or sympathy for that matter, like, if he doesn't care about other people, I can't care about you.
Yeah. This is one of the prime examples of, you can take a profound and interesting story and unfortunately tell it too simply and stupidly. Versus you can take something so simple and stupid, I don't know, talk about like taking out garbage. I don't care. Like, pick any like mundane subject, but tell it so profoundly well that it has meaning. And I think this is unfortunately something that happens a lot with writers. Sometimes they make this mistake, like we got this great idea and how can it go wrong? Well, this is how it can go wrong. I mean, they wrote the first draft in 2009. It was put on the as a favorite script on the 2015 blacklist for the most liked scripts that were yet to be produced. To be honest, I'd be very curious to read the script as to why. Again, it lacks authority, it lacks honesty, and it lacks perspective.
Yeah, and it lacks human emotion for something that is such a human story interacting with other people who did him wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit is a very kind of American, quote, town, right? There's a huge history.
Ford.
You know? There's a whole GM movie called Detroit, right? Yeah. We watched it. That's a very...
There's history in Detroit. My father's from Detroit. I've been to Detroit so many times. So, like, I personally somewhat have a connection to Detroit, too. So, that is, like, a pinnacle of Americanization, just in the culture of how people treat each other and what happened within this country. And knowing that, like, yes, drugs were bad, gun control was bad, is still an issue today. Both of those are still an issue today. But they tried to hone in on the family theme, how this affects a family. They tried.
That's, we'll go with that word. They tried.
Right.
We'll just leave it at they tried, because they certainly didn't succeed in my mind. Now, interestingly enough, kind of on the flip side, let's talk more facts. Even though it takes place in Detroit, it was primarily filmed in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to the Cleveland Film Board.
Yeah, they used a lot of rundown buildings from Cleveland because good for Detroit. Right now, most of the Detroit has rebuilt itself. It looks like a cleaner, more beautiful city than it was back in the 80s. And good for them, to the point where they couldn't even film it because it looked too nice.
Which isn't saying much for Cleveland.
No, definitely not. So they used a lot of like rundown warehouses and exteriors of buildings down the streets that were in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Cleveland, that is Ohio, it is very Midwest. I'm from the Midwest, so it definitely still had that Midwestern vibe, just one state over.
Yeah. Another interesting aspect, and I would love to read more about this, but I unfortunately right now it's not really out there that much yet, but they did test screenings. The film scored quite high, and so they were given a go-ahead to shoot extra scenes. So usually when you shoot or adjust things, it's because things did not work. Mm-hmm. Rarely, you know, if something's working, it's that old adage, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Rarely do people tell you, hey, we need more footage. Go.
Unless it's something wrong with the movie.
Right. You'd be like, this story is lacking something. Go film this to add to this story. Not like, just go in and have fun.
Yeah. So, no. So I'm very curious. I don't want to waste more time on this movie at all. No. But I'd be very curious to see the audience version of the movie, the one that happened during the test screenings, to see how different it is from this and to see if there is anything actually redeemable in that version versus this one, to see if they just completely had something, you know, maybe not great but decent, and they screwed it up.
And I wondered, there's probably a different edit out there that maybe that something was a little bit more comedic or something more dramatic. I want to know what was added or what was detracted that made this film have such high ratings or like it's such a more positive feedback in their first screenings.
Yeah, well, because good thing you correct yourself initially, because right now it has a 59% on Rotten Tomatoes and a B cinema score. Low. Which B sounds more up there than you would think, but as far as rewatchability and kind of spreading the word, it's not, unless you're getting an A minus or even a B plus at sometimes, a B is not really that great in terms of a cinema score.
Yeah.
Even though it sounds better than
this
it actually
movie's
is.
Not rewatchable at all.
I'm certainly not recommending it to anybody. If you've stayed this long and you happen to like this movie, please let me know why.
Yeah, kudos to you.
We'll have it. I'll talk with you in the comments section. Happy to do so, but just know I highly disagree with you.
Yeah. No.
All right. Is there? Honestly, the only redeemable part of this whole movie is Matthew McConaughey. And I'll take that back. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that I liked the FBI informant. Jennifer Jason Leigh, she's trained veteran actress. She was strong, and even Brian Tyree Henry, the other detective. I think they were great. They added to it. They did help the plot along. They were the smartest people in the room compared to Richie, who is the main character we're supposed to be following. And that's what's frustrating when you know other people who aren't the main people, who are smarter than you. You're like, why? Why are we wasting our time?
Yeah, and in that sense, it could have, like, it had all these things. It could have been a very cautionary tale because the father kept saying, like, be careful, be careful. And, you know, just that realization of, like, oh, I thought I was invincible, but I wasn't. That never came to be. Maybe we could have followed. I really found the I forget her name, but let's say the wife of the drug kingpin before Rick. And how she was kind of manipulating and she was a puppeteer. I thought, okay, she's going to play white boy Rick. And I would like to see maybe more of her. And she ultimately comes out on top. And it's like, because I thought that was cool as far as, you know, she's a woman. They don't believe me. But
also,
I'm really in control.
She got what she deserved, too. And, like, yeah, she got her husband in jail, but she ended up lonely. Like, she really didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a cautionary tale for make sure you know what you're doing when you get into something. Or else it will screw you over and put you in jail for life.
Well, take out that last bit, and it still applies to filmmakers everywhere. Make sure you know what you're doing, lest you end up with a... Like this, you're going to end up with a bad movie.
Yeah.
So, all right.
And cast better people. Or, like, cast a better actor for your main actor.
Well, so let's talk about that real fast in terms of as objectively as we can, right? So, Richie Merritt, this was his first role. Now, there's a difference between a first role. We've seen plenty of first-time actors who have done quite wonderfully. Mm-hmm. And I get it. The notion is you want to cast an unknown so you get lost in the performance. fine, but that doesn't really happen. It's not, I don't think, like, everything that I've read about this guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, I doubt you will, it's not like he even wants to be an actor. You didn't know who Matthew McConaughey was. Not that you have to know, but, like, you should probably know some things about the craft and the players involved in the in the game.
Right, and I think this is where the performance really literally ruined an entire film for me, based on this one guy, which is unfortunate because, this is his first, so you should be a little lighter. But no, it was awful. No emotion. Every deliverance of a line sounds like he read it straight from the script or it was posted right in front of him. No ounce of any type of, like, inflections in his voice that made him sound like he was interested or angry or sad or afraid. It was so emotionless, stoic performance where I couldn't follow this guy. Therefore, did not care about what the hell happened to him, because everything, all of his decisions, getting into the drugs, getting selling the guns, he deserved it. I wanted to punch him so hard. Yeah. So hard.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not an interesting anti-hero. Maybe he was in real life, but
yeah,
this,
they only apparently, there's a quote out there from the casting director, they only casted Richie Mary because he had charisma. Yeah, but no talent. You pick charisma. Pick any CW male actor, any freeform actor for that matter, who could have done a better performance than Richie.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So it's unfortunate because we're supposed to be starting off the season of
Academy Awards.
Academy Awards and kind of heading into there. They deliberately, this was supposed to come out in January of 2018, and they deliberately pushed it back. They had a Toronto Film Festival screening and so forth. And so when you go from January, which is kind of like a dumping ground sometimes, and you push it back to September.
January has the Sundance Film Festival that, like, kicks off the year.
Yeah, but that you begin kind of your small circuit of indie, mm-hmm. and then you kind of you're building a momentum, and because you're like an indie darling that eventually gets released later on down the line because you want to go for the Oscars. In this sense, they pushed it back to September to try to be perhaps not, like, again, when you have Matthew McConaughey, you got to kind of think, like, this is what we're going for. Unfortunately, it let us down. If this ends up anywhere in the Oscar nominations, apart from maybe the soundtrack, I will be shocked.
I didn't even pay attention to the soundtrack, to be honest.
It had an 80s soundtrack, which is, you know, if you like the 80s, it was okay.
Okay. I mean, maybe Matthew McConaughey for, like, it was a great performance, but not his best. Not his best. I mean, no. he had a really good, strong scene when he broke down in the car. But honestly, he's had better performances in Dallas Buyers
Club,
that one. Not his best role, but Matthew definitely did have a wider range and a wider aspect of character emotions. And if God forbid Richie gets nominated for anything, I'd throw my hand up in the air and say, "What?
How about
what
a Razzie?
Razzie, definitely Razzie. Okay. I'll give him a Razzie.
Right.
Hell no to an Academy Award. No."
Yeah, I think between Jennifer Jason Leigh and Matthew McConaughey, they take this movie from an F and miraculously, double-handedly, whatever the damn term would be, they pull this movie to like a D. So they go from F to a D minus to a D, thanks to Matthew McConaughey and those guys.
And Jason.
Jennifer Jason Leigh. All right, that's all I want to talk about this movie. That's all I'm sure Marissa wants to talk about this movie. But any final thoughts as we wrap this out?
I've seen it. Don't need to see it again. I really don't. I mean, it sucks that Rick Rorschach, like young Richie, still in jail. But again, he deserved it.
Like,
he deserved it.
It's not like he got screwed over. He did something stupid. He did something illegal, mm-hmm. and got caught.
Yeah,
the justice system worked.
It did.
So
very well.
What are we upset
in his
about?
Case.
All right. Well, if you for whatever reason disagree with us, that's fine. Comment. Let us know. You can tweet at us, Instagram, at Phil Svitek, at Serafini TV.
Yep.
Next week, we will be doing Life Itself, and we will be doing Hellfest. So check those out. And as the weeks continue, we will be getting and ramping up into Oscar award season. So hopefully we'll have better contenders for such glory. Thank you guys, as always, for joining us. We'll see you next time with another Anatomy movie.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.